So we are back. I hope you are enjoying today's discussion. Well, we're talking about, life has got a meaning and I have to work hard for it. And there's no way for those people who say life is meaningless. And if they say such, then maybe they're getting far away from the notions that we have in our Islamic heritage and they have to work on that.
Yeah, definitely life is not meaningless. If you find life meaningless, you gotta increase your knowledge about the things, you gotta change your worldview, you gotta actually go and travel, simply. Sometimes you get
Yeah, a
bored
change
of.
of mood.
Exactly, sometimes when you travel, when you see things around, when you. Then you see, just imagine when you get to travel a new place, we get so refreshed.
I was watching a movie, and then in a scene, there was this man talking to another man. The first person was actually deciding to kill himself. He was about to make a
Suicide.
suicide, yeah. And then he was talking to that old man and telling him, okay, change my mind. And that man told him, I have been there and done that and have been through that idea of killing myself. But then the day I was killing myself, so suddenly a moment of manifestation happened to me and I saw my children and I figured it out that, okay, these are the meaning of my life. I
Beautiful.
don't want them to be sad. And this very thing changed my idea totally. He told him, if you want to change your idea about this, the one and only way for you is to change your perspective. And I do believe in that. Sometimes we come after so much of difficulties, after a disaster happens, whenever I think about the people who lost their loved ones in the earthquake, I just think, okay, to them, maybe really life has got no meaning, not much more of meanings. So, when you change your perspective, maybe everything is going to change. Maybe, as Sister Zainab said, a quick travel is going to solve the issue.
Yeah, this perspective is something really important. You know what? When you think that life got no meaning in that, it means that there is a meaning, that you are the supporter of the group that thinks that there is no meaning. You know what? And this is the point. You got a choice here. And this, I don't know, action of choosing that you think life is meaningless is a blessing itself. It can be the meaning. You aren't choosing, you have will. So I think the nature of human beings believe that there is a meaning here. And if yet sometimes we define it as meaningless when we don't find the meaning.
Yeah, and sometimes, as I just told you, maybe because of the disasters that happens to me, maybe because someone cheated me and I just feel, okay, the world stops spinning and I'm just done and everything is so dark and nothing has got a meaning. But that's wrong because I'm in the wrong phase of my life and I shouldn't make decisions.
We have a very beautiful hadith from Imam Al-Ghilissam. He says that, may Allah's mercy be on that person who realizes the value of his life.
See, that means the finding the value of life itself is a mission for us.
Yeah,
And it's
exactly.
not pretty much easy.
It's again for the tests. And it's also to receive his mercy, to receive his blessings, to see his all bounties.
And also we have another verse in the Holy Book of Quran, مَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ
For the worship.
That means the worship is the criteria for our living. Sometimes, as I just told you, there are many people, we see them, they try so hard, they get so much of things, but they do not make use of it. And all of it goes to their family, to their children, to whatever. So should they think that what they have done is has gone just into ashes? No. Because if they have done it for the intention that, okay, I want Allah to be satisfied with me, everything is going to be a blessing for him in the other world.
A very beautiful hadith from Imam Hussain alayhi salam. He says that Allah has not created the mankind, but in order to know him. Just imagine a person in a room full of mirrors. And if this man has reflections in all the mirrors, once this man leaves, there's no more image. So we all have a existence because of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we got to realize that Allah even created us to make him know. Like, if you can get to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, knowing his creation.
Exactly. So that was all for today's episode. I hope you enjoyed it. Until another session, I bid you farewell. Wassalamu alaikum warahmatullahi
wabarakatuh. يا رحمن يا رحيم يا ربي لدي أمارات زكى يا الله يا رب العالمين يا رحمن يا رحيم يا ربي التي أما رايزك لتصي دليلتك وانسك.
In the limelight.
Europe has not made enough progress in locking in long-term contracts for liquefied natural gas LNG as an alternative to Russian pipeline supply, which may prove costly next winter, as a rebound in Chinese demand could sharply tighten the market. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites for further details. Stay tuned for more. According to Reuters, the EU has not secured enough long-term contracts for liquefied natural gas to replace discontinued pipeline supplies from Russia, and is facing the prospect of higher costs next winter due to rising demand in China. The bloc managed to reduce its dependence on Russian energy last year by ramping up LNG imports to 121 million tons, which represented a 60% increase compared to 2021, according to Reuters. Much of this was bought by the EU on the spot market, where LNG prices are significantly higher than the costs negotiated under long-term contracts. According to the International Energy Agency, LNG prices more than tripled last year, and the bloc spent some $190 billion on supercooled gas. In 2022, the EU accounted for more than a third of the global spot market, compared to just 13% in 2021. Industry analysts have warned that this could jump to over 50% if the bloc fails to secure long-term deals. Morten Fish, senior partner at Morten Fish Consulting, believes the EU should cover around 70 to 75% of its LNG supply through long-term sale and purchase agreements, SPAs. But since the Green lobby in Europe has managed to persuade politicians wrongly that hydrogen to a large extent can replace natural gas as an energy carrier by 2030, Europe has become far too reliant on spot and short-term purchases of LNG, he added. Meanwhile, Asian buyers are at the head of the race for limited global supply, particularly China, which has seen a strong rebound from the pandemic. Victor Tenev, an LNG business consultant at consulting company Reuters, said EU companies would need to act first by signing a series of large-scale long-term SPAs based on the Chinese model to hedge themselves against any ups and downs of the turbulent global LNG market. Felix Booth, head of LNG at Vortexa, explained, China's focus on security of supply has allowed the country to continue its support for green energy projects, whereas European buyers are concerned about committing to supply well into the start of their net zero targets. The EU is still a long way from fully substituting Russian pipeline gas supplies, leaving the bloc exposed again to damningly expensive spot market, according to Tenev. Meanwhile, Euronews reported annual energy inflation in the EU reached a record level following Russia-Ukraine crisis. The annual energy inflation rate exceeded 40% in June 2022, and then prices began falling gradually. In February 2023, energy inflation was considerably lower compared to the same period in the previous year. However, many households and businesses still struggle with the cost of energy in Europe. European governments have allocated significant support to households and business to mitigate the impact of larger energy bills in the midst of overall cost of living crises. Winter has almost ended in Europe. Households will soon be relieved of the bulk of their energy bills as their main use of energy is for home heating. 63% of final energy consumption in the residential sector in the EU in 2020. However, energy for other purposes such as lighting, heating water and cooking remains a crucial necessity for Europeans. In February 2023, residential electricity prices, including taxes in the EU, varied from 9.2 euro cents per kilowatt hour in Hungary to 49.2 kilowatt hour in Ireland, according to the Household Energy Price Index, HEPI. These prices reflect the cost in the capital cities of each country rather than the average rate.
We are with you. What about you? Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio.
If you ask me, why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me? Proudly I would say, I am a Muslim. If you ask her, why does she dress that way, all covered up in a world that gives it all away? Proudly she would say, I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray 5 times a day when so many others have strayed? Smiling, he would say, I am a Muslim. Din al-Islam, dini, wal-Arzam, ghayru dini, Muhammad illi hadini.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God. Welcome to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Javad, hosting this program. And sitting in the studio along with me, Sheikh Javid, well, the dear guest speaker in this program, Islamic Laws. Welcome to the program, Sheikh Javid.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
The pleasure is ours. Stay tuned. We'll be back. We are going to talk about three types of blood discharge. Well, according to the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. But before that, let's take a listen to a short biography and then we'll be back. Don't go away.
A little bit of background about Ayatollah Khamenei. He was born in 1939. When he began his Hawza studies, it took him 5.5 years to finish the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh. The standard time for studying the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh for an Iranian student that is not raised with the Arabic language is about 10 years. At the age of 18, he starts attending Bahthul Kharij. Bahthul Kharij, he starts it in Mashhad under Sayyid Hadi Milani. For 7 years straight, he was in Qom studying under Ayatollah Burujerdi, Imam Khomeini, the son of Ayatollah Ha'ari, who set up the Hawza in Qom, Sheikh Murtada Ha'ari, which was one of the top figures in Qom. Then he went back to Mashhad. For 4 years, he studied Kharij under Ayatollah Milani again. Speaking to some of those who knew Ayatollah Khamenei in Iran, when the issue of the ijtihad of Ayatollah Khamenei came up, they said, "We testify that he was a mujtahid not now, but in 1337, that's in the Iranian calendar, 1337, that's the first year that he started his Bahthul Kharij. He was teaching also. He had classes, he was teaching makasis, some of the advanced classes in the Hawza, he was teaching that. 5 years before the actual movement started by Imam Khomeini, he was a mujtahid according to that testimony. And when the movement of Imam Khomeini began, he was part of it, he was politically active, but he also was involved with his studies, as we said. Up to 1347, he was actively participating in Bahthul Kharij of Ayatollah Milani in Mashhad. And after he became the supreme leader, a little while after that, because he was requested a lot to start Bahthul Kharij, he started Bahthul Kharij and he's teaching. One can very clearly testify that this man is no doubt one of the most just and adil scholars that would not, for any reason, for his children, for his family, for his personal benefit, for any party's benefit, for anything other than Allah, change his view and make a decision to go against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said because of something like that.
Back to the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio with me, Mahajad, hosting this program. And Sheikh Tawfiq, our guest speaker, we are still talking about the different kinds of blood discharge experienced by the ladies. Sheikh Tawfiq, you know, you quickly pointed out some of the different kinds of blood discharge. But let's focus on the different kinds or types of istihada blood, right?
Yes.
Would you elaborate on each one of them? And then in the middle, I might ask you some questions related to the laws applicable to the women experiencing that kind of blood discharge.
You're right. Okay, thank you.
There
are three, as I said, there are three kinds of istihaza: the slight or qalila istihaza, medium istihaza, which is called mutawassita, and then we have the excessive istihaza, which is called kasira istihaza. But when it comes to little istihaza, of course, if the blood remains on the surface of the pad and it does not penetrate into it, it's called, qalila or little istihaza. Or you can call it slight istihaza.
Mm-hmm.
So istihaza, as we said, is the irregular blood discharge which a woman experiences or might experience because it comes off and on and it's not predictable.
Mm-hmm.
And when there is such blood, then the woman should understand the rules and regulate the rules and must act according to it. Now, if the blood is very little and it appears on the surface of the pad the woman usually wears, then she should make one wudu for each prayer, and there should not be any gap between the wudu and the prayer.
Is this the only way that a woman can ascertain this is, for example, the slight or little istihada she's experiencing?
I suppose there's no other way,
measure,
and there's no other way to ascertain that it is little or excessive or medium.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
I see.
And this is a very easy standard.
I see.
And but then again, I myself believe there's going to be confusion because it depends on the lady when she changes her pad and when she doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if it takes long time for the woman to change her pad,
mm-hmm.
then how can you ascertain that it's little or, you know?
Medium, for example.
Medium, of
as
course.
As you said, yeah.
But okay, the woman, the religious authority has not said anything with regard to changing the pad very quickly, you know?
Mm-hmm.
The woman is supposed to change her pad each time she performs the prayer. And she's not going to change it every 1 hour, okay? Each time she wants to make wudu or perform ghusl, she is going to change because she cannot perform prayer with the blood stained, with the pad which is stained with blood.
Mm-hmm.
So
I think I understand part of the reason why they didn't mention the changing of the pad as one of the, for example, a standard.
Yes.
To find out or discover whether this is little estaza or any other type of, for example, estada, blood discharge,
yes.
Is that the way I understand it is because some women are, more sensitive than other people because they are, for example, they like to change their pad sooner than the other women.
Yes.
So because they feel, somehow repugnant with
you're right.
the blood discharge. So yes. they might, in fact, change it sooner than their friends, all right?
You're right.
So that might not be a good standard, actually, right?
Yeah, that's not. Yeah, because just as you rightly mentioned, some ladies are very much scrupulous. Some of them are very much obsessive. And we don't look at the obsession, you know, obsessiveness is not a good standard at all.
Yes.
You know, the religion always encourages ladies not to be obsessive, not to be very much particular with regards to the blood.
But health is another issue
yes.
then.
Then well, we have to...
Yeah,
have...
thank you very much. Let me stop you there actually to take a short break and then we'll be back and continue with the questions here in the program Islamic Laws on RIB English
sure.
Radio. So don't go away.
The followers of Ayatollah Khomeini can refer to leader.ir/en. In the section Religious Affairs, you can ask your question and receive the answer. In the library section, some of Ayatollah Khomeini's works of jurisprudence are available, including Practical Laws of Islam, Frequently Asked Questions, Comparative Fatwa, and Newly Asked Questions.
Allah, yeah, Allah. Guide me all the way to your Jannah, ya Allah, oh Allah. Don't let me go astray, cause I need you.
Back to the program, Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio. With me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker. We are still talking about the different kinds of blood discharge experienced by the women. Sheikh Javid, I asked you before the break about the little istihada, or the different kind of istihada, I should say. So is there anything left related to the little istihada?
I think that's enough because... We should, we should explain the other types.
Okay. And what about the medium
enough,
then?
Yes. The medium istihaza, if the blood penetrates into the cotton or the pad, you know, even partially, but does not soak the cloth tied to the outer side. Okay. The istihaza is called in this case mutawassita. So the blood penetrates.
Right.
But it does not soak the surface
or the fabric of the pad
or the cotton, whatever. So it just penetrates. In this case, the blood discharge is considered to be mutawassita or medium istihaza. So
what about the rules?
Yeah, the
then?
Rules. What is a woman in the state of medium istihaza supposed to do? She has to perform two ghusl, one in the morning, other and another in the evening. So when it comes to the morning prayer, of course, when she wakes up in the morning, she should perform ghusl and offer her fajr prayer or dawn prayer. And then in the evening, she should perform one ghusl in the afternoon and perform the fajr you know, close to the Maghrib, okay? Mm-hmm. She should perform, one ghusl in the afternoon, perform the Zuhr, Asr, and then Maghrib and Isha prayers, one after another, you know. They cannot be performed one after another because there is a gap of Maghrib and Isha. So the one ghusl is enough.
Right.
And she has to wait until the time for Maghrib prayer sets in, and then she has to perform the Maghrib and Isha prayers.
That's the rule you said that the istihada women should actually observe. But what about the fasting, for example? Are they allowed to fast?
Why not? Yeah, they should fast. And the fast is not affected by this.
Because we know that menstruating women cannot fast.
Cannot fast, yes. They cannot fast. They cannot do a lot of things, you know. But a menstruating a woman who experiences irregular blood, mm-hmm. or istihaza blood, she can recite the Holy Quran. She can recite those verses which contain sajda, obligatory sajda. She can enter the mosque. She can go anywhere. And even she can touch the script of the Quran as long as she has made wudu and she is in the state of ritual purity.
How about the excessive type
excessive
of istihada?
Istihada,
yes. What are the rules required and how can we differentiate it from the other types?
Right. Now, we have already explained and we have mentioned the signs and the qualities of the little and medium istihaza. When it comes to excessive istihaza, which is called kasira, of course, if the blood penetrates through the cotton or the pad,
yes.
soaking it and the cloth, you know, around it, then the istihaza is called kasira because there is substantial quantity of blood. It has penetrated. And it might sometimes, you know, come out, appear on the other side of the pad. So that's called excessive blood.
Mm-hmm.
And in the event that a woman discharges excessive blood, she has to perform 3 ghusl, one in the morning, another for the Asr and Maghrib.
Noon prayer.
Noon and afternoon prayer. And then another for the Maghrib and Isha prayers. And there should not be any delay or any pause between the noon and afternoon prayer, nor should there be any delay between the Maghrib and Isha. The two prayers should be, for example, should be performed very quickly, one after another.
Mm-hmm.
If a woman wishes to perform, let's say, qadha prayers or any mustahab prayers, again there should be another ghusl.
Women in their istihaza, excessive type of istihaza, enter the mosque, for example?
Why not?
Uh-huh.
She can enter the mosque and she can go anywhere. She can do all the halal things.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, my dear listeners, for listening to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio. We leave you in Allah's care. So keep us in your du'as. Thank you very much. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
رحمن رحيم منان كريم سلام عليم لا إله إلا هو غفار جميل وهاب لطيف تواب سميع بصير لا إله وحيد قدير محيي مميت الظاهر والباطن لا إله إلا هو لا إله إلا هو.
Minutes.
When Donald Trump won the presidential election in 2016, the American media and political system became fixated on what came to be known as the Russiagate investigation.
I, Donald John Trump, do solemnly swear.
Led by Robert Mueller, the investigation was based on the hypothesis that the Russian armies of cyber warriors, trolls, and bots were behind Trump's victory. No details of the Israeli connection were ever revealed in the heavily redacted Mueller report.
For the highly paid professionals brought to work at FBI.
Nor was there any mention of an Israeli plot in the Senate Intelligence Committee report on collusion charges in the 2016 election. Yet longtime award-winning investigative journalist James Bamford has revealed in his new book, Spy Fail, Foreign Spies, Moles, Saboteurs, and the Collapse of America's Counterintelligence, that Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu dispatched a secret Israeli agent to the United States in the spring of 2016 to help Donald Trump win the presidential election.
Next segment, we're continuing.
According to Bamford, the agent met with advisors to Trump and offered to share secret intelligence with the campaign against Hillary Clinton. In 2016, no issue was more important to Benjamin Netanyahu than Donald Trump winning the keys to the White House. Trump was key to everything Netanyahu was after, but there was no guarantee that he would win. Against such a backdrop, the Israeli Prime Minister dispatched a highly trusted aide armed with critical intelligence to covertly intervene in the U.S. election to help out Trump in the White House. Based on the FBI documents, the intelligence appears to have consisted of advanced knowledge of Russia's hacking of the Democratic National Committee, DNC, and Hillary Clinton's presidential campaign, and it may have included confidential details from the stolen emails.
They left out a little bit from the report, and that's that there was collusion, but it was from Netanyahu and Israel to the Trump campaign, and it went on for months and months and involved providing the Trump campaign with secret access to the information that the Russians were picking up from Hillary Clinton's campaign and the DNC. In other words, the Israelis, they have a very, very sophisticated eavesdropping organization, Unit 8200. It's their equivalent of the NSA. And they were eavesdropping on the Russians and eavesdropping on WikiGate, and they were, and Julian Assange, and they were picking up all this information that the Russians were getting from the Clinton campaign and the DNC. And rather than giving it to the President of the United States, to Obama, which is what an ally is supposed to do, especially one that gets $4 billion a year, they instead were giving it to the Trump campaign, secretly giving it to the Trump campaign in order to get concessions from Trump when he became president.
Bamford's book is based in part on a series of text messages sent by the Israeli secret agent to Trump advisor Roger Stone. In one message from August 12, 2016, the agent wrote, "Roger, hello from Jerusalem. Any progress? He is going to be defeated unless we intervene. We have critical intel. The key is in your hands." Later, the agent wrote, "October surprise is coming."
The documents I got are from the FBI. There are the FBI affidavit about this. There's documents, numerous quotes from the secret agent, the Israeli secret agent sent by Netanyahu, talking about the PM, which the FBI agent indicates was the prime minister, and lays out a months-long plot, basically from May of 2016 till the fall of 2016, right up to the election.
In his article published by The Nation, Jim Bamford wrote, although the affidavit did not specify any individual defendants, the numerous potential criminal charges laid out in the FBI documents spoke to the seriousness of the Israeli plot. They included violation of one foreign contributions ban, which prohibits foreigners from contributing money or something of value to federal, state, or local elections. Other charges included aiding and abetting conspiracy, wire fraud, and attempted conspiracy to commit wire fraud. Still another charge, unauthorized access to a protected computer, indicates Israel may have conducted illegal hacking operations.
That Israel is a Jewish state.
Based on the emails and text messages contained in the documents, the conspiracy began in late April 2016, when it was beginning to appear that Trump had a good chance of winning the Republican nomination. Although the spy's name is redacted, there are a lot of similarities with one of Trump's closest associates, Isaac Malho, a very shadowy character Netanyahu sends on secret missions to various places. A key reason Netanyahu wanted Trump to win was because Trump vowed to throw out the nuclear agreement with Iran that the Obama administration worked very hard on.
We are all done. Thank you very much.
I've studied this issue in great detail. I would say, actually, greater by far than anybody else. Believe me. Oh, believe me. And it's a bad deal. The biggest concern with the deal is not necessarily that Iran is going to violate it, because already, you know, as you know, it has. The bigger problem is that they can keep the terms and still get the bomb by simply running out the clock.
Moreover, the Obama administration was putting a great deal of pressure on Netanyahu to work out an agreement with the Palestinians over Jerusalem al-Quds, which was going to be divided between the Palestinians and Israel. But the regime wanted the entire city to be Israeli. In the meantime, the Middle East Quartet, a group formed to mediate the Palestine-Israel peace process that included representatives from the United Nations, the European Union, the United States, and Russia, was seeking a solution to the issues surrounding the occupation, and it was about to release a report that was expected to be highly critical of the Israeli regime. When Trump came to office, as a token of appreciation for what Netanyahu did for him, he recognized Jerusalem al-Quds rather than Tel Aviv as the Israeli regime's capital.
Therefore, I have determined that it is time to officially recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. While previous presidents have made this a major campaign promise, they failed to deliver. Today, I am delivering. I've judged this course of action to be in the best interests of the United States of America and the pursuit of peace between Israel and the Palestinians. This is a long overdue step to advance the peace process and to work towards a lasting agreement. Israel is a sovereign nation with the right, like every other sovereign nation, to determine its own capital. Acknowledging this is a fact is a necessary condition for achieving peace.
Illegal settlements kept expanding nonstop during Trump's tenure in the White House. The United States, however, is not the only country the Netanyahu government has been involved with trying to interfere with the elections. An 8-month investigation by journalists from some of the most respected newspapers in the world has revealed the role of the Israeli regime in overthrowing, or rather throwing, elections in Latin America, Africa, and the United States. In fact, the Israeli regime has long been acting as the world's center for secret election interference.
Archimedes Group was one of those companies earlier on, before this investigation, that was identified as a company that Israel was using to, or at least it was a private company with ties to the Israeli intelligence, that was using a lot of fraud and other aspects to throw elections in various parts of the world. I think there were 13 countries or something it was involved in. So this has been going on for a long time. Israel's been involved in enormous amounts of covert operations and intelligence operations in the U.S. just in the last 7 years.
Now, as the 2024 election is on the horizon, the Prime Minister of Israel is once again Benjamin Netanyahu. And Donald Trump is once again running for president, with the same players in the same positions, and the same media and the same Congress that turned a blind eye to anything questionable that Israel does. The question is, will history repeat itself?
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
قد عودك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسان ودعوتك ربي بقرآني.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم.
السلام عليكم, respected brothers and sisters, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. Welcome to Let's Recite the Quran Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network. Here we are again, alhamdulillah, with brothers Ali Nasir, Sayyid Ali Nasir, Hassan Asrullah, Hussein Ruhullah, and Fawad Haider. Assalamu alaikum, brothers. Welcome to Let's Recite the Quran Kareem. How are you?
Fine, sir.
Fine, inshallah. Fawad?
Fine, sir.
Alhamdulillah. Ali Nasir?
Alhamdulillah, sir.
Okay, Hussein Ruhullah?
Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Everyone is fine. Dear listeners, we hope, inshallah, you are fine as well. We'll talk about Ayah 81 on Surah Al-Imran, right? On page 60. And we really ask our brothers and sisters, those who have Quran with themselves, please turn to page 60, Ayah 81 of Surah Al-Imran. Everyone, once let's listen.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. وَإِذْ أَخَذَ اللَّهُ مِيثَاقَ النَّبِيِّينَ لَمَا آتَيْتُكُم مِّن كِتَابٍ وَحِكْمَةٍ ثُمَّ جَاءَكُم رَّسُولٌ مُّصَدِّقٌ لِّمَا مَعَكُمْ لَتُؤْمِنُنَّ بِهِ وَلَتَنصُرُنَّهُ قال أأقررتم وأخذتم على ذلكم إصري قالوا أقررنا قال فاشهدوا وأنا معكم من الشاهدين.
Nice recitation, alhamdulillah. I really liked it. How about you?
Yes.
Do you want to recite the Quran that way? Brothers and sisters, if you want to recite the Quran that way with Tajweed rules, stay with us till the end of this session. Inshallah, this I will practice the Tajweed rules as well, okay? And inshallah, we'll do the recitation all together. Yes, Fawad?
Yes.
Okay. So, Now I will read it once, okay? Then explain it a bit. Inshallah, we'll move on then. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وإذ أخذ الله ميثاق النبيين لما آتيتكم من كتاب وحكمة ثم جاءكم رسول مصدق لما معكم لتؤمنن به ولتنصرنه قال أقررتم وأخذتم على ذلكم إصري قالوا أقررنا قال فاشهدوا وأنا معكم من الشاهدين. So Allah Almighty says in this ayah that when Allah took a compact concerning, compact means a covenant, okay? عهد, ميثاق. In Persian we call it payman, okay? Payman. When Allah Almighty took a compact concerning the prophets, He said, inasmuch as I have given you of the book and wisdom, okay, should an apostle, if an apostle come to you, a messenger come to you thereafter, confirming what is with you, you shall believe in him and help him. He said, do you pledge and accept my covenant on this condition? Well, Allah Almighty said to the prophets, okay? The prophets said, they said, we pledge, we accept it. Then Allah Almighty said, then be witnesses. And I am also among the witnesses. قَالَ فَاشْهَدُوا And then Allah Almighty said, then be witnesses. And I am also among the witnesses along with you. So, this ayah gives us an important thing to learn, okay? Look guys, suppose there are many teachers, five teachers, right? Five teachers are there who want to teach something, okay? Who want to teach, for example, they want to teach math. Will they all have the same teaching skill?
No.
Will they all have the same lesson plan?
No.
No.
No. They will have different lesson plans.
Yeah.
So I have my own lesson plan. That teacher has his own lesson plan. The other one has his own lesson plan, okay? And they will move on based on their own lesson plans, okay? So, for example, Ali does not come to me and ask me for my lesson plan and move on based on my lesson plan, yes? He has his own lesson plan, yes?
Yes.
So they are different, okay? They have different thoughts, they have different beliefs, okay? They have different lesson plans, schedules. So, that's it. But when you say, when it comes to the prophets, okay? The prophets, 124,000 prophets. All of them had the same lesson plan. One lesson plan. And that was the lesson plan that Allah Almighty had given them. وَإِذْ أَخَذَ اللَّهُ مِيثَاقَ النَّبِيِّينَ لَمَا آتَيْتُكُمْ مِنْ كِتَابِ وَحِكْمَةٍ Okay? ثُمَّ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مُصَدِّقٌ So, O prophets, this is the lesson plan I give you, okay? This is the lesson plan I give you. And this is what you have to tell the people, okay? That you should invite them towards me and make them worship, help them, guide them, okay, to the right path. So do not lead them astray, God forbid, okay? So you have a very difficult responsibility. Do you accept it or no? On these conditions? The Prophet said, yes, we accept it. Right? In Dua Nudba, we also have وَعَلِمْتُمُ الْوَفَاءَ وَعَلِمْتُمْ مِنْهُمُ الْوَفَاءَ بِهِ Yes? Yes?
Yeah.
Yeah. Allah may is in that dua we have that Imam alayhi salam says that when you were about to appoint prophets, okay, you knew whom to appoint because you knew who will be loyal, who will accept this responsibility. That's why you accepted them. Allah Almighty does not appoint anyone as prophet.
يبكي يسأل خالقه فأتاه الوحي فأشرق اقرأ اقرأ
Let's recite the Quran.
اقرأ
باسم ربك الذي خلق.
Now we'll move on to the tajweeduls. We are about to run out of time. Before we run out of time, let's do the tajweeduls, inshallah, and practice. Some of the very important ones we'll mention because this ayah is a bit longer and we won't be able to fulfill all the tajweed rules, the important ones. وَإِذْ أَخَذَ اللَّهُ مِيثَاقَ ذَال and ثَا, the pronunciation, make sure. Then the next pronunciation is ha, فَاد. Am I right? Ha وَحِكْمَةٍ. Yes?
Yes.
ثُمَّ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مُصَدِّقٌ صَاد مَعَكُمْ عَيْن. Yes? تَنْصُرُنَّهُ صَاد as well. And isri, and that's all. Shahidin ha. So fashhadu ha. These letters are important, and kha as well. Wa akhad kha. Okay, make sure you pronounce them correctly. Now some of the tajweed rules. Wa idh akhad Allahu, the letter lam in the word Allah, since it has a fatha before, it should be pronounced
heavily.
Allahu, not Allahum. Mithaqan nabiyyin nun mushaddad. Two counts. مِثَاقًا نَبِيِّنَ لَمَا آتَيْتُكُمْ. The mad is not wajib since the alif mad and hamza are in separate words. Yes, in two different words. That's why it's not wajib. آتَيْتُكُمْ مِمْ سَاكِن plus مِمْ إِدْغَام. For what is best to say this?
إِدْغَام مِثْلَيْن.
إِدْغَام مِثْلَيْن, yes. So you merge them and prolong the sound for two counts. Ataytukum min kitabin min, yeah, nun sakin plus kaf ikhfa, hide the sound. And kitabin plus waw, kitabiw, merge them. Kitabiw wa hikmatin thumma, hikmatin tanwin plus tha, hide the sound. Thumma, yeah, min mushaddad ja'akum. Mad is wajib. Hamza and alif mad are in the same word, in the word ja'a. Rasulum musaddiqun, again idgham. Musaddiqun lima idgham, again. Ma'akum latu'minun, again idgham. Bihi, straight the sound a bit. Walatansurunnahu idgham, sorry, ikhfa, hide the sound of nun. Tansurunnahu, nun mushaddad, again. Hu, when you stop, latansurunnah. Jim tells you it is jaiz to stop. Qala aqarartum, aqarartum. Qaf produces a bouncing sound, yes?
Yes.
Wa akhadhtum, akhadhtum, kha has a heavy sound. Ala dhalikum isri. Sila tells you, Hassan?
Better to continue.
Better to continue, but still you can stop here. Qalu أقررنا, را has a heavy sound. You can stop here, جائز. You can continue. قال فاشهدوا وأنا معكم من الشاهدين. أنا, if you stop here at this word, أنا, that tiny W, O, sorry, on the top of Alif tells you, if you stop here, you stretch the sound. Read that Alif. وأنا. But if you continue, do not read that. وأنا.
Skip that.
Skip that. Okay? That is the rule. وَأَنَا مَعَكُمْ مِنَ الشَّاهِدِينَ. That the rule of how to stop, how to continue, how to read, okay? It says that rule. Thank you so much. We mentioned now the important ones. Now I will read once, okay? Quickly we'll recite all together. Then the session is over. أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ.
أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
وإذ أخذ الله ميثاق النبيين لما آتيتكم من كتاب وحكمة.
وَإِذْ أَخَذَ اللَّهُ مِيثَاقَ النَّبِيِّينَ لَمَا آتَيْتُكُم مِّن كِتَابٍ وَحِكْمَةٍ.
أحسنتم. من كتاب وحكمة ثم جاءكم رسول مصدق لما معكم لتؤمنن به ولتنصرنه ثم جاءكم رسول مصدق لما معكم لتؤمنن به ولتنصرنه
ثم جاءكم رسول مصدق لما معكم لتؤمنن به ولتنصرنه
قال أقررتم وأخذتم على ذلكم إصري قالوا أقررنا
قال أقررتم وأخذتم على ذلكم إصري قالوا أقررنا
قال فاشهدوا وأنا معكم من الشاهدين
قال فاشهدوا وأنا معكم من الشاهدين
صدق الله العلي العظيم
صدق الله العلي العظيم
Sins, mashallah. Allah bless you, inshallah. Brothers and sisters, we practice Alhamdulillah's ayah with tajweed rules. Inshallah, we hope you've learned something. Thank you so much for being with us and listening to IRB English Radio. We really recommend you stay with us, inshallah. Hassan Hussein Ali Nasir Fawad, thank you so much. Any questions?
No,
nothing.
Sir.
Allah bless you, inshallah. See you in the coming sessions. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa alihi tahirin.
Allahumma. صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم
Let's recite the Quran. A joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نرقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان
IRIB English Radio. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.